Oh, that's right. We're here this afternoon, and it's a great afternoon. In fact, the sun is out, and I've got my sunglasses on here. I've got Nancy Lopez sitting across from me. I've got the Jim Medford man sitting right next to me. And I tell you what, you know, when we talk about Nancy Lopez, we're talking about a legend in her own time for sure. And there's so many things that we could talk about to introduce Nancy Lopez. But I happened to find this on the internet, and I thought this was the very best way to introduce you. So from the third grade class for Hispanic Heritage Month, I want to do something for you, Nancy. First things first, she's a golfer, player of the year four times. You can't stop her, and she's still in the golfing business. She can hit a drive like giving lessons on physics. You want to play and win golf like this? She started playing at age 8 like this. She had a girl, had a girl, had a girl. Now she's a golfer and a champ and a mom now. Age 13, she won her first tournament, and ole, she comes from Mexican descent. Mama Maria and Dad Domingo, they were born and moved here from Mexico. She's so Nancy, I want you to know. She's the best golfer from the U.S. to Mexico. She's so Nancy, can't you taste this gold? Remember her name from U.S. to Mexico. There's more verses, but I'm going to leave it right there. I hope you enjoyed this, Miss Nancy Lopez, right here today.
Well, I'm telling you, Ann, the kids that did that were in the third grade.
Right.
And at a school named Lovett, which, as a matter of fact, my daughter Tori Knight is working there right now.
Yes.
They put together on Mexican Heritage Month, which I think was March of that year. Maybe it was another month. But
right.
They put this video together, and they sent it to Nancy Lopez Golf, because I would have never seen it. And Nancy Lopez Golf sent it to me, and it was so precious. I mean, it's real. I don't know
it
if you've
is.
Seen
we
it. Did you get to see the video?
We actually put it on our Facebook page. It's there for everybody to see.
It
yes.
is so cool. Well,
it
I
is.
Ended up, I called the teacher, and I wanted to get hold of her because I found that they were in Atlanta, which I was in Auburn at that time. And I said, I'd like to come and meet these kids. And so we set it up, and this was before Tori ever got there. And I went in and I saw them. They did it for me in person. And it was the cutest thing. I had tears in my eyes. But they worked so hard. And they won the prize of Mexican Heritage Month
sure.
by doing this video or this little skit.
This little rap.
Music,
yep,
yeah,
yep.
For me. And it was adorable.
It is. It yeah. is. And we saw that and we said, well, we got to do this right here
you
today.
You did it really
to
good,
introduce.
Too.
Yes. And It just tells the history in such a fun way. And I'm sure that these kids have had the thrill of meeting you now. Plus, they've had the thrill of remembering all about you. And that, I think, is part of the charm and what makes it so neat to be able to sit across from you today. So, she's so Nancy, you already know. She's the best golfer from U.S. to Mexico. She's so Nancy, can't you taste this goal? Remember her name. She's from the U.S. to Mexico. They even knew you made $5 million. I tell you what, I was impressed.
I'm speechless, Ann.
Are you
so,
really?
Yes, that's my contribution to this. Just speechless.
Well, I mean, you know,
awesome.
when you've got someone like Nancy Lopez sitting across, you got to come up with something fun to introduce and
absolutely.
Start it off.
You raised the bar. I think you definitely raised it.
Well, I was trying. I was trying to make sure that I gave her the proper due here today, and I just love that. We were going to have the, let's see, this is from the song Fancy by yeah. Iggy Azalea. And we were going to have the music too, but I didn't have enough time to practice. So there you go.
But the rap outfit you have on is outstanding.
You
too,
like
by
that?
The way.
I, yeah. I had the sunglasses. Yeah. That's right. But you just got another award, didn't you?
I did. The mayor of Augusta honored me on Monday and made April 4th Nancy Lopez Day. I think what was so special about it was that my daughters got to be there. Of course, they offered us master's tickets, and you just don't get those very often.
Exactly.
So I told my kids, you have to come. I know the award's special, but coming to the master's is even more special, really, if you can get on the grounds and go out there and just see this beautiful golf course. So two of my daughters came, and one of my son-in-laws, and then my boyfriend came. And so it was a great day. for me, and people came, and it was a nice little celebration that evening, and it was a lot of fun, and we danced to the music. They had some bands there, and so my daughter and I, both daughters, and I stood out there and danced with everybody. It was really fun.
And, you know, I understand you're the first lady, first woman to get this award.
Well, they told me that, and I was like, well, that, you know, it's always nice to be the first at something, and I think when you play and you don't compete anymore, you just wonder if you're going to win any more awards, because
sure,
you're not able to win them by the way you play. So it's nice that if, you know, if I can leave my contribution to golf and what I did with my golf game, then that's a plus.
Well, I think you actually continue to keep giving to the game of golf. Of course, you're going to be up here. You're here with Jim Medford here. You've been out talking golf and playing golf and promoting. What do you have to say, Jim, about all this?
Well, this is my third year of driving Miss Nancy around. And I'll tell you, she is such a tremendous lady on and off the course. I learned something new about her all the time. The Nancy Lopez Elementary School being named where she went to school. I mean, that, you know, those are things that are so special in life. And to be with somebody that accomplishes so much is inspirational to all of us.
Absolutely. And to be able to have some private time. Have you learned anything about how to play golf any better, Jim?
I've learned the concept from Nancy. The execution of that has not transpired yet, but there's always hope.
Well, I thought actually the concept was do your best one shot at a time and then move on. Remember that golf is just a game. That's a Nancy Lopez quote.
Wow. She has tried that with me. We did get to play last year together, just Ed, who is Nancy's boyfriend, who is a great guy. We call him Trini Lopez.
Why?
Well, you know, because he's always with Nancy, and people will say, well, hello, Mr. Lopez. And so I just said, you know, well, let's call you Trini. And, you know, it took him a while to figure out what Trini Lopez was, and I had to remind him that he was a recording artist back in your day, in my day, Ann. But he's a great guy, and we got to play last year together. We had a fourth, so just a foursome. Out playing the beautiful links at Stony Point. How about that for commercial shot?
Yeah, it's good.
And it was just great to sit there and watch how effortlessly she swings and just enjoys the game. And I think that's Nancy's other aspect is play happy and, you know, leave the frustrations behind. You know, it's a game, and you do better when you're relaxed and enjoying it than when you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. So that's something I try to remember myself. Thus, guys I play with don't really appreciate the humor that comes out of me on the golf course, but I'm playing happy.
You play happy.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, Nancy, one of the things that when going through and doing all this research and everything, I didn't realize you actually at one point were thinking about going into broadcasting.
Well, I did. I did a lot of that for Golf Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I enjoyed doing it, and I enjoyed working with everybody at Golf Channel. But as I sat there, I didn't get to really do what I kind of wanted to do, and that was kind of when I was doing the commentating. They tell you that you can't really say, well, I remember when I did this, to kind of, you know, tell the story of what you're watching now. And I was like, wow, how do you do that? How do you talk about somebody doing something without you saying, well, I remember doing that?
Right.
Because I know when I was watching Annika Sorenstam, because I was doing TV during that time, I remember the sensations of standing over a certain putt in a certain situation and how I knew I was going to make it. And I wanted to say that and say, she's going to make this putt, and then she'd make it. But I couldn't go through all that, and that kind of turned me off a little bit, because you've got to think really quickly. You've got to make your statement before the other five or six people that are on the telecast with you jump in.
Right.
And, of course, you're sitting there going, well, they've never been in that situation. How do they know? And so it was just hard because it would have been called the Nancy Lopez Golf Show instead if I would
have
kept
talking. That wouldn't
have
been
talking.
Bad.
You know, so I loved it, but then they wanted me to do more, and I was only doing, I think, 3 tournaments that year. They wanted me to do 8, and that's 8 weeks of TV and commentating, and I said, you know, I think I want to play golf instead. And so I decided not to do that anymore, and I went back to just playing golf and, you know, played a little bit on the LPGA Tour at that time, not much. And then the Legends Tour started up, and then I started playing on that. But just, you know, doing more charity stuff and corporate outings was a lot of fun, so I kind of stepped away from it.
You know, I think that's a shame that they didn't take that into consideration, because I think a lot of people would have been probably even a lot more interested to have heard your commentary about what somebody's going through.
Well, you know, I think it would have been more interesting, but it's hard when you have all these people that they pay so much money to be able to do a telecast. But, you know, you only have a short time. I would have had to really learn to cut back on what I was talking about, because I like to talk. And so
really?
I'd have to make it short and, you know, and get my
point
my message
across.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd never know when that opportunity was going to come up where you'd say, oh, I remember this. Oh, because it's live.
Right. It's yeah. live.
Probably might have been better to have had an after all the shots and everything were done, have Nancy Lopez come in and, you know, be able to commentary it as it's going as a special commentary. The Nancy Lopez Golf Show sounds good to me. Well, let's hear a word from our sponsors. We're going to be right back. We've got a lot to talk about. Hey, if you've got questions, give us a call, 229-7984. Jim Medford from the Links at Stony Point is here. We're going to be talking about some about the Symetra Tour coming up. There's also a new wrinkle. There is an official Legends Tour that's going to be going on at the same time as the Symetra Tour. We'll let Jim fill us in all about that. And, of course, I've got a lot of questions for She's So Nasty. See, I want you to know. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
That's right. We're right back here. I just found out we've got listeners all over the place. People have been commenting about my rap song here today. Thank you very much for the positive reinforcement, everybody.
Those from Chicago.
For Chicago, okay. Well, they probably could have done it better than me. Little Southern girl here. But anyways, we're having a good time here with Nancy Lopez. And, of course, she just got the Mayor's Master Reception Award. She got the first lady to get the keys to the city. That is so, so awesome. And now she's here helping Jim with the Symetra Tour coming up. Jim, what can you tell us? You've got the Legends coming in as part of also the Symetra Tour. What can you tell us about two tours in one?
Well, that's we're really excited about this. Nancy and some of the other great ladies of golf have been here with us since the beginning. So this is year 3 for us. But they were here for the Pro-Am for our bigger sponsors experience. And so the general viewing public didn't really get a chance to appreciate, you know, their talents and them being here. So as we try to mix it up and bring something new and different each year to the event, I thought, you know, why not have a Legends Tour and a Symetra Tour tournament at the same time? So, like everything in life, this is not a one and a done. This was a long-term commitment with the Legends Tour. So, we contractually have 7 more years at minimum to host what we're doing. And we want the Legends Tour to be a part of that, going all the way through to the end. So, on the weekend, because the full field for the Symetra event is 144 players from all over the world, they play Thursday and Friday, and then after Friday there's a cut.
Right.
And the cut goes to 60-plus ties. So with the cut then, in comes 24 of the Legends players to play in their tournament. on the weekend in conjunction with the Symetra event for two different purses, prize monies, and two different one-of-a-kind, beautifully crafted trophy from Laura Bashinsky, one of our local artisans. We commissioned her, and she's done two spectacular one-of-a-kind trophies to present. And God willing, this great lady will be hosting one of those.
If I'm not winning the tournament, I'm stealing it anyway. Procuring it.
You know, I think this is actually brilliant. And the way this is going to work, if I'm not wrong on this, is that you will have a group of girls, the Symetra girls, go off, and then you'll have a group of the Legends gals go off.
That's correct. So we'll have alternating tea times on the final day, Sunday, Mother's Day, one another special occasion for honoring women. And so they'll both tournaments will be on the course at the same time, ending roughly about the same time. And so on roughly around 5 o'clock Sunday evening, on the green of the 18th hole, we'll be making two major presentations and two major checks. And then right after that, we walk across the way to our driving range for Gracie, ready, Wolfstock. Which is our free concert. All the local musicians in Greenwood, which we are blessed with to have many of those, are donating their time to put on a free concert. So bring a blanket, bring a lawn chair, sit out on the driving range. We'll have food and adult beverages and regular beverages, and listen to some great music. And I threw this out at Nancy earlier today, so why not again? This is how the firework display started last year. Nancy will be organizing a group of legends to do a sing-off against the young Symetra players also on that stage at Wolfstock. And the reason the name Wolfstock, kind of like the theme Woodstock, is to help raise money. So we hope people will at least make a donation to support the Humane Society and our efforts, which were at the stage of building a new animal shelter here in town. So all of that is all for just a price of coming in to see the final round of the tournament.
I tell you what, you know, every year it gets bigger. In fact, I understand that you've even committed more money to the tour this year because you wanted to be the biggest purse on the tour.
Let's go back to the original theme, go big or go home.
Yes.
So that still sticks with me. We were the first tournament to have a $200,000 purse for the Symetra. Going into that, the average purse on the Symetra Tour was $100,000. So we did go big, and we doubled what the average purse was. And what's exciting about that for these young ladies is that other tournaments then had to raise the bar. We set the standard, so some of the purses on other tournaments were starting to be raised. And you were with me when this happened. Matter of fact, it was on this radio show out at the links. There is a new tournament stop in South Dakota. South Dakota as a state has a population of 3 people, but anyway, they were there and they spent all week looking at how we put on the tournament and what we did. We had them on your show being interviewed, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I was making fun of we're going to have a Mount Rushmore topiary next year in honor of them coming on tour. So what do? They go back, and their purse
They raised the bar.
They raised it to $205,000. So
you could have gone 210.
Could have. But that's not how we roll around here, is it, Ann?
No, it's not.
So now we're the first tournament at $250,000 in the history of the Symetra Tour. So we were the first at $200,000. Now we're the first at $250,000. And we are officially, again, the largest purse on the Symetra Tour, which – you know, it's not an ego thing, it's a pride thing, and it's a thing that helps benefit these young ladies, and I wanted it to be whoever wins our tournament automatically gets their LPGA Tour card,
right.
And that's still what happens now, but interestingly enough, the first year, the top 4 finishers in our tournament won as much as they did if they won the tournament themselves outright. And so far, going into year 3, we've had almost 20 ladies, young women, who played at Greenwood, have now have their full-time cards on the LPGA Tour. So
that's pretty awesome.
We're very excited about that.
And I guess we could probably say that you would love for somebody to go top your 250, right? I mean, well, because that would mean that they are really putting their money out there.
Yeah, I would like them to come in at 249, because that would really be raising the bar. Because, you know, to keep reaching beyond that.
I mean, the challenge, Jim, the challenge.
Yeah, I'm there for that challenge, Ann, but let's just do it in moderation.
Moderation.
Moderation is good.
So 255 just wouldn't do it for you.
Well, 255, if that's what I had to do, or 260 or whatever, we'll cross that bridge when somebody builds it for me.
Okay. All right. Hey, you are here and you heard it right here on WCRS. Let's hear join the news and we'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We are talking with Nancy Lopez. We're going to, I would love to spend a little time, Nancy, just talking about maybe a little bit about the past, but about your, I've noticed in some of the articles that are coming out, you were written up in the Wall Street Journal in June of this last year. That sure was a nice article.
You know, it was a fun article to do. the gentleman I spoke to, when he sent it to me after we, you know, we did the interview and everything, he sent it to me. And when I was reading it, I was like, I almost was a little uncomfortable with it, because as I was reading, it was more like I was saying everything. Like, it was, I told him, I called him, I said, you know, I'm not sure if I like this article. It's like, me. He goes, no, he says, everybody knows I'm writing it. So when they read it, they know I'm saying it. You're not. I said, okay. Well, then it sounded better because he read it to me.
Right.
And I said, oh, I like that. But when I read it, I was thought, well, boy, I really love myself.
Yeah, that's tough. That's,
yeah,
it was tough.
It was a different way of writing, but it was really, did a great job. And then they sent a photographer to take pictures of me, and I now represent Chico, so I got to wear my fashionable clothes and all these really nice photos they took of me. And it was a fun article to do, and I really appreciate what he did, because of course a lot of people read the Wall Street Journal.
Absolutely.
So I got my face out there. People didn't forget I was still out there, so it was fun.
You know, Nancy, I and one of the pictures that I like so much that was in the article was of you and your dad at the body shop, his body shop, a Sunday Lopez owner. And you and your dad, you can just tell your dad is just looking at you just like you are the bomb. And that has to be a good feeling when you look back on that.
I do. You know, my dad, he was just a fantastic father. And in the summertime, I would go to E2nd Body Shop, was what it was called, and I would answer the phone for him during the summertime, excuse me, while I wasn't playing golf. And, you know, the phone would ring, and I'd say, E2nd Body Shop, can I help you? And then I would clean his windows for him. And he worked, and I think you learn so much from your parents by watching them. Mm-hmm. And as I watched my dad, he wanted to do his job the best, you know, make that person's car shine, you know, painting it, fixing dents. He always wanted to do quality work. And once in a while, someone would come back and they'd say, his name is Domingo in Spanish, but they call him Sunday or Sandy. They kind of threw any name at him. And they said, you know, I didn't quite like what you did right here. And he goes, I'll do it again. I won't charge you. And I think I learned a lot from that on how my dad was with people and how he was really kind. He wasn't going to cause any kind of issue if there wasn't somebody that wasn't happy with the job that he did. But that didn't happen very often because he took a lot of pride in everything that he did. And I think I learned a lot being there in the summertime about my dad. But I think I learned a lot about life, and probably he taught me so many things that I became without me even thinking about it, because I watched him and really admired him. And you know, just like I said, he was just the best father, great teacher, my best friend. I mean, he was everything to me, as I see so many parents really put the pressure too much on their young people to perform, in any kind of sport, not just golf. And I, you know, the thing about my dad, he let me fail, and I think that's what made me better. But he didn't scold me.
We don't have that philosophy today, though, do we? We don't have the philosophy, it's okay as a child to fail, because they might learn something more out of it by failing for the future. We make sure that they succeed all the time.
Well, the thing about failing is you learn something, and then if your father's there to pick you up and to help motivate you with that, it's positive, not the angry, why did you fail?
Correct, exactly.
And that's just not good for the young people of today. They have to be able to fail, learn something from it, and then if it's that loving parent that's going to give them that pat on the back on let's keep working hard, then that's what my dad did.
Yeah, I think so. And I also thought it was real interesting in reading one of the articles is that your dad said that they would make sure that you had orthodontia work because your smile was, you were going to be famous one day. I thought that was such a neat thing that your dad just knew. And when you look at this picture of him looking at you, you know that he's saying, you are terrific and you are going to make it in this world. And that was quite a statement. You know, most parents, we got to get the teeth fixed. We got to do this. No, they saved money and scrimped so that you could have orthodontia and because you were going to be famous one day.
He did, and people always said, you know, you smile all the time, and I'm always like, well, I wore braces for 5 years, and I need to use my teeth as much as I can, because my dad really did save, and he was the cutest thing when, I remember when he found out how much it was going to cost to have braces, and I was like, oh gosh, my dad's going to have to pay for that too, and he said, no, he did, he looked at me, he goes, one day, you have to have pretty teeth because you're going to be famous. And I thought that was pretty cool that he would say that at such a young age and see that down the road somewhere.
And you know, I think also one of the things is that you are Mexican. That's your background. And I think that that pride from your dad and for the future, how do you see that today? Because I know that I'm seeing this in some of the writings that you're concentrating a little bit more on your Mexican heritage and how it affected you then and with today.
Well, you know, it has come up more, Anne, about my background and being Mexican American and having the heritage of, you know, growing up and, you know, sometimes struggling. And I think, especially in this day and time now, we talk so much about color. When to me, you know, my dad always told me, and I truly believed as a young person, he said, no matter what the color of your skin is, if you have a good heart and you're a good person and your work ethics are good, you'll go far in life and your color just seems to change. And I think that's so important, especially in today's world. You know, there's so many issues, black and white issues and things like that, but as I look at people, I don't feel like I've ever been prejudiced or concerned about somebody's race. If they're good people, I want to be good to them. And like I said, no matter what their color is, I don't see that. I only see the good person that they are. And that's so important why we can't just be nice to each other and love each other, because that's how my dad was. He never stood back and said, hey, you know, we're not getting to be members here because we're Mexican. He never said that, but as I grew up, I kind of learned it. But right. He never said, poor me. He was never that kind of father. He was always positive. I never can remember him saying something negative to me. It was always, you can do it. Keep working hard. No matter what, just keep working hard. Be a good person. He always said that to me. And watching him practice what he preached, I think that's what helped me so much in my career, because I truly love people and I enjoy them. And I think, you know, I have a connection, and I think when I see Hispanic children look up at me with their big wide eyes and want to be me, I want them to know it doesn't matter. Just work hard. You can reach so many goals in life. Set them high. Don't set goals low. Don't, like on the tour, just try and make the cut. Try and win. Make it top 10 finish. Set them high, because that's how we get better.
You know, you were telling us off the air about, we had a little bit of this conversation about a black girl that was on the Symetra, I guess on the Symetra tour.
Or no, just a little amateur player that came out to me from First Tee program.
Right. And share that story, because I think that is so true.
Well, you know, I think she kind of, we made a good connection, because she saw that I was Hispanic, And I said, ask me any questions you want to ask me. And she asked me about the way she was treated being a black young woman. And I was really surprised because she wants to go far in golf, and she was wondering how she was going to do that, mm-hmm. being black. I said, what I just told you. I told her, I said, my dad told me, no matter what the color of my skin was, if I had a good heart and I was a good person and I worked hard, you can accomplish anything. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And she kind of looked at me, and her eyes kind of, lit up, and she got what I was saying to her. And I think she was just having a tough time either with herself or what was surrounding her. And she got it, and she walked away with this almost a little skip in her step, because she realized that she saw what I had become as a golfer and, not being the perfect woman, skin color, whatever. Mm-hmm. She saw that, and I hope that she still, from that day on, realized that. Oh, I remember now what else I told her, and I said, those people are missing out. If you're a good person and they don't want to be your friend, they're missing out. And I think that she really got it when I said that.
I think part of the hard thing about today is that we have the internet, we have TV, we have instant access all the time. And so I think in this world, we're seeing more of the bad all the time than we are ever the good.
Yeah, that's so true.
You try to figure out why are we having some of these problems? And, when you think about it, I grew up, you watched TV at night maybe, but you didn't have all this instant information coming at you all the time.
That's so true, Anne. I think, we didn't used to see all the bad stuff, even though it was there. And I think it makes everybody a little nervous and scared and worry about more things happening, which, I think you're exactly right. It scares me, right, when I see all the terrible things that happen. But every night I go to bed thinking, why can't we just be good to each other? It would be so much easier for everyone.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So as you travel around and see all the young golfers and everything, I think that you really enjoy giving them advice. When you were here last year on the Symetra Tour, I know there were a lot of pictures taken when you were out there on the putting green talking to one of the young gals about that. And then, of course, you had the sit down where the young golfers could ask any questions that they wanted to ask. Well, what do you think? How do you think these girls are doing from the questions that they're asking you?
Well, I think that, first of all, it's great that they can ask you that question, because we have a thing on the LPGA Tour where we are trying to help other players. They'll give us a little pod, and they'll give us four LPGA players that can call us anytime they want. And I think it's important, because I like to contribute that way, because I've been there, I've done that. And if I can tell them, something that might click with them on how do you win a tournament, or how do you withstand the pressure, or how do you deal with the press, or how do you deal with the fans. If I can give them something, because I have that knowledge, that can help them just a little bit better. I mean, it might help them improve two shots. It might help them improve their attitude. Attitude's so important when you're playing the game of golf. If you're negative, negative things happen. If you're positive, more positive things happen when you're playing the game. So always try and encourage these young ladies to enjoy what they're doing, because now I'm 59, and I'm not afraid to say that. And time went by. And when I was that young person, I never thought I'd be 59. I'm like, that's too old. But being young and having this, I was so blessed, so lucky to be healthy, first of all, to be able to swing a golf club, have some God-given talent, and then learn. I mean, it was fantastic. And to be able to share that, if I can help that little Marina Choez, who I was helping last year, she was struggling with her putting, and after we worked, I felt like she could walk off that green and make all the putts that she could, because I was giving her positive feedback, and maybe she was looking at something I was telling her and going, wow, that makes sense. So if I can do that for anybody, and anybody that wants to learn the game, to give them a tip, to see the happiness of someone hitting a really great shot after they haven't hit very many good ones, but just that one shot inspires them to be able to play better. And golf is that kind of game. It can make you crazy. It can frustrate you. But then when you hit that pure shot, you're like, I'm coming back tomorrow. And you only had one good shot.
Exactly. When you connect with the tee, you know, hitting off the tee, and you hit a really good shot, and it felt good, and you ended up being able to see it go straight down the fairway there, yeah. It is a really good feeling.
Yeah, it is.
Or that putt where it goes in the hole. But as you go forward here, you've started this Nancy Lopez Golf Adventures, and you were telling me that you know how to hit a golf ball, but it's been a little bit of a stretch for you to become an instructor. You didn't view it that way. And I didn't realize that there would be a difference that you analyzing and being able to do that.
Well, absolutely, especially because, you know, I learned the game from feel. My dad was my teacher. He was an auto body repairman. He knew golf, mental golf. But he didn't really know all the mechanics. He just said, you know, he gave me a golf club and he told me to make connection every time I swung at it. So there was not all that mechanical stuff in my mind being overloaded with it. So with Nancy Lopez Golf Adventures, I've learned to teach. I have two great teachers. I learned to teach from other people too down the road because I've been involved in teaching now. But there are two great teachers, Teresa Zamboni and Sue Powers. And I've learned a little bit to kind of add to what I've learned, and I think I've become a better teacher because of it. But if you can explain something to somebody, because everybody has a different golf swing, they have a different body. There's so many times teachers are trying to teach you their swing, and you can't swing the way they swing. So we try and give everybody that comes to these adventures a tip. We practice with them. We show them how to hit that shot, and they can figure it out. It's amazing how good people can get, and then of course I've got to practice. So the adventures have been a lot of fun. We've been pretty loaded up. We have one that's coming up in Keystone, Colorado, at my home up there. And last year we had a great time. We had 17 women come up there. We taught them for almost 2 days. They stayed at the lodge. We had dinner at my house, which we're not going to do this year. We're going to have the cocktail reception instead because I cooked dinner for them, and one of the other teachers cooked dinner for them. Then we had a vegetarian, so it became a really big job, but we loved it. It was fun, but we teach them golf. They have fun, and there's a lot of good fellowship in golf because you meet so many great people, and you become friends for the rest of your life. But if I can get them to make that putt or a consistency of making putts and hit that one really good shot, then I've accomplished something.
What do you think it is that... do you think women are held back at all in golf?
I think women are intimidated.
Right.
You just don't see very many women. More so now, but for a long time, women just didn't want to go to the golf course. We're trying to prepare those women so that they feel like, I can play this game. I have the right to be out here. I can hit a good shot. And to give them that opportunity to do that by teaching them. They definitely feel intimidated about going out on the golf course, but we try to take that away so they can go out there and play the game and enjoy it. And fortunately, we've had a few women that get better and they beat their husbands, and they don't like that very much.
So then the husband doesn't want to play with them. Okay, there you go. Hey, I tell you what, let's hear a quick break from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Don't you go away. I'm here with Nancy Lopez and with the Medford, Jim Medford. We'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We're here with Nancy Lopez. You know, I understand when you were in college that you had a cool nickname.
Yes.
What was your nickname, Nancy?
It was Skeech.
And why did you have that nickname, Nancy?
Probably because I was not a smart young person at that time, but it wasn't dangerous. Me and the other girls on the golf team would peel out, because that was a big deal back then.
Right.
You know, having a car that could peel out when you pulled out of a parking lot. And it made that skeeching sound, and mine did the best. So they call me Skeech.
Did you know that, Jim?
I did not know that. Yeah. Again, that's why year three, by year six, I'm going to know a lot more.
I just have to keep doing all this research, Jim.
Yeah, there you go. And you could hear my tires skeeching as I pulled out of the parking lot.
I like that, though. I mean, you know, I just thought that was a fun fact. But As we get ready to wind this up, you, of course, are going to be here for the Legends Tour. And, of course, you're going to be here for the Symetra Tour. Mm-hmm. How do you think, as far as a tour, here's a nice lob to Jim. How do you think, as far as a tour in a well-run tournament, how's he doing?
He's done great. He's just super. I mean, him and his whole staff and Denise, they want it to be the best. You know, and like Jim said before, he has a lot of pride. And he wants things to be right. And they work their tails off. And, you know, Stony Point is just such a great place. It's a good feeling atmosphere. I mean, the players, I know the players love it as they came last year and the year before. You know, they were hoping this might happen, that we'd have an event here with the Symetra Tour players. And, of course, Jim made that happen. And I think it's going to be great. And I really want people to come out. You know, you don't have to be a golfer. Golf is such a great sport. They'll catch on quickly with the competitive spirit that all these girls have, but all the things that are going to be going on, you know, and take your family out, have a hot dog, smell the green grass, enjoy the sunshine. It's just a great place to be, the golf course is, and to have these beautiful young women and the beautiful older women come out there and play golf and watch us swing a golf club. It's really going to be a great week of golf, and we want everybody we can to get out there to watch us.
Absolutely. And I know, Jim, you are just so pleased to be able to have the talent of Nancy Lopez here with you.
Yeah. You know, there is days I pinch myself, Ann. I mean, since I got to really meet Nancy 3 years ago, there's a couple times where Denise and I are sitting around the breakfast table, my cell phone rings, and, you know, I have her programmed, and it's Nancy Lopez. I mean, I'm like, Denise goes, who is it? I'm talking away, and I'm going, Nancy this, Nancy that. And she goes, who is that? And I go, it's Nancy Lopez. Well, who else would it be? You know, it's just
I'm
amazing.
The only Nancy in your life, right?
Yeah, there
absolutely,
you go.
So it's just amazing. And again, to travel around with her and really get to know her as a person has been so special. And the other ladies that are coming in too, and these young girls, they all have stories, and you know, some of them have their parents with them, and they're from all over the world, and to bring all that to a community like our size in Greenwood, to have that, it's an amazing thing. And as you know, so much goes back to the community. That's what I love about professional golf as a sport, because so much of it is geared towards charitable giving, making a mark for every place the tour has been. And I'm proud to say after this year, we'll have given back over $750,000 to local women's and children's causes here in Greenwood, in the Greenwood area. I mean, those are game changers. And, you know, so you look at this from so many different views, meeting and knowing Nancy Lopez, to seeing some of these young ladies that are coming in, and they're the best of the best. I mean, these girls are athletes. They work out. They're driven. They're smart. And they have the work ethic that we don't see as much in our society as we used to, but they epitomize that. So to be here trying to chase their dream, and to see that coming in, and then to raise money for charity at the same time, and have the Inn on the Square and other hotels and restaurants do well because all these people are in town is a great, great thing.
That's right. And you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. You know, I think, Jim, and the self-regional, the foundation stepping up and being part of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we can't do this without the sponsors and all of our volunteers. But self-regional, healthcare, and the foundation, you know, saw this as an opportunity to promote women's health, because we talked about this at a luncheon today we had for the ladies, that, you know, most women take care of the family and everybody else around them, and leave themselves, you know, take themselves for granted or leave themselves for last. So here's an opportunity to get the awareness of that from a healthcare perspective, from self-regional's perspective, out in the forefront. So what a partnership that is. It's a natural fit. And all of our other sponsors, you know, are all tying in with this. It takes a community to raise a village, and it definitely takes this whole village to host this tournament. And I sleep well at night. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of stress at times, pulling all the details together and keeping the sponsorships alive and engaged and excited. But at the end of the day, as we get closer to May, every time, I wouldn't trade it out for anything in the world.
I think it's definitely a win-win all the way down the line.
Amen.
There you go. Nancy Lopez, it is always an honor to have you here on my show. Thanks so much for coming out today.
Thanks, Anna. You're a great interviewer. I really enjoy sitting here talking to you.
Well, thank you very much. And Jim Medford, thank you for sitting in and being part and talking about this. And Gracie, thank you for being part of the show today. Hey, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.